It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now, we're going to get back to your host.
Good afternoon and welcome to freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Well, it is TGIF and this is Market Watch with yours truly, the Crow. In a rainy, rainy day in our part of the world. In fact, we've had a lot of rain lately and doesn't look like it's going to let up too much. We've had a couple of storms that were close around and dumped a lot of rain on us. Fortunately, I'm kind of up on a high area where we don't have to worry about the flooding part of it, but it sure slows down getting anything done outside, and grass is just still growing, and it'll just have to, I'll have to get some goats maybe. That might be the answer for that. But anyway, welcome to freedomslips.com and Revolution Radio, and this is Friday. Thank goodness we're about to get this week out of the way. And the market is really, it really has liked this week very well. Actually, looks like the Dow is going to close down another, let's see here. Right now, down 167.82. That could change a little bit. 34,583.50. That's about 1,000 points the market is giving up here. Basically, this last week, it's really been on a downward spiral, and basically, the market is acting pretty well normal when you have run-ups which lasted for a protracted length of time, a really, really abnormal run-up since the virus kicked in and all of that, and Main Street was wiped out, and Wall Street has done wonderful. But the market is in a corrective state now, and normally about you want to look for about 5% correction is pretty well a normal, and that would be about 1,750 points. So if it were to do a full 5% correction, you still got more downward risk for the market to look for. So anyway, well, on the same token, gold 1752.30, down about 440 today. Silver hanging in there at 2074, down 51 cents. All once again has been able to break through that 70 barrier at about 71.84. Little change for today. So that, you know, with everything going on with the virus still moving through the country and around the world and different parts of the world and different things being done and under the rulership currently of President Joe Biden and the very absent vice president. We haven't seen much out of her lately. I don't know why. She's not showing up, but she hasn't really been, she made her little trip overseas and, did that. And I don't know, really hadn't heard much from her since then. And maybe that's a good thing. But anyway, looking at the, let's get back to the market a little bit here. This has really been a corrective type week all week. We actually started off Monday with a gain of 261 points. Then on Tuesday came back and dropped 292 points. Then on Wednesday we added, just flip-flopping back and forth, they added 236 points. Then yesterday backed off again and dropped 6307. And what it boils down to is that 35.5 number that we hit was, you know, up in the stratosphere. And since that point in time, the market wasn't able to really push above that and build a base there. So this is okay. Well, it's getting late in the year. So option expiration, all of those things going on, and the triple witching, and which is always kind of rattles the market's cage when that happens. So you had all of those things going on, and we are approaching, getting very close to getting into the Christmas season now. That will, you'll start seeing people, sales will be there, and it's going to be quite telling how the Christmas season ends up this year. Of course, the big box stores, they're still operating at optimum levels. So most of them, what is really done, and this is a sad part of this whole episode that we've gone through for the last year and a half or so, so much of the smaller mom and pop type stores and family, little small family businesses that were wiped out. It's doubtful that we will ever see those come back, not in our lifetime for sure. And so it is really, it's really depressing when you think about that. And yet the very people, and it is my opinion currently and has been my opinion all along, that this virus was created by the Chinese there in the Wuhan laboratory. And of course, how did it get out of there? I think it was done on purpose, in my opinion. That has been my opinion from the beginning, really reading into and researching as much as you possibly could. Why would that laboratory be working on something of this nature when there was no need to be doing it from a cure standpoint? It was strictly from to be weaponized to begin with. We just have to belly up to the bar and realize the Chinese are not our friends. They are, their goal is to dominate the world. And of course, they've their assault on the U.S. has been done from a business level of taking away the shutting American factories down and letting it be made in China at a cheap price. And Americans got accustomed to those cheaper, inferior goods. Unlike the Japanese goods, if you remember, anything made in Japan was premier. I mean, Sony and all of the Panasonic products that the Japanese were just expert at miniaturizing items and making them really high quality. And where on the other hand, the Chinese just said, let's just get close to it, but let's do high volume and let's turn them out and let's do it cheaper with slave labor, whatever. And we'll bring those Americans down to their knees. And pretty well, they've done that. And of course, President Trump, recognizing this, he bellied up to the bar and says, enough is enough. And we're not going to have that. We're going to bring this industry back to America. And he was bringing it back in a rapid pace. And the pipeline, think of that. For the first time, we were totally independent. Just think of the things that's been done to roll back the good that he did. We were the pipeline would have completely eliminated our dependence on Middle East oil. We were right there at the border of not having to depend on those people for anything. And yet all of that with the takeover of the Biden presidency, that all was stopped. And you know, has anybody just ever really asked the man, why would you stop that? You know, what was your real purpose in stopping that? Does the oil companies completely own you or what? It just is one of those things that you really have a hard time understanding why, when Americans were it not dependent on anyone at that point, and then all of a sudden you stop it and we're dependent again. And as I said a while ago, oil has back touched over $70 today, and it's going to continue to work its way on back. And remember when not too long ago, just a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, oil reached one time 147 or 149, I don't remember exactly, but it was almost to the $150 a barrel. Think about what that was doing to our economy. And you've got to remember that oil is the one product, the one thing that God put on this earth and down in this earth to where you've got to seek it and hunt it and look for it and spend money to bring it to where you can use it. But it's the one thing that just permeates our entire society. From farming to manufacturing, there's no segment of our society, not even counting the transportation. And of course, we're trying to move away and move to battery operated time and solar and what have you. That's going to be, first of all, if you didn't have oil, you wouldn't be able to create any of those things like those big wind turbines and what have you. Look at the thing that it takes to produce those things, it's all built in plants. It's probably supplied by natural gas or oil. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It seems like the world hates oil, but yet you can't get along without it. And farmers, naturally, it's to produce the fertilizer, to produce the crops that feed a large part of the world. Good grief. What are we entering into? We're entering into an area after having to deal with the virus, the Wuhan Chinese coronavirus, for approaching well over a year now. Where are we going to be when this is all over with? Where are we going to be at the end of a Biden presidency? What what changes that are going to be made that will be, in many cases, irreversible. What if the event were to take place that he's able to put someone on the Supreme Court? How would that affect that? So it's just so much on our plate right now that it really is a worrisome time, in my opinion, for our nation. Our nation is really at risk. The Chinese are simply sitting over there licking their chops and just enjoying what's going on, and said all we had to do was unleash a little virus and look at what we did to them. Believe me, that's not the first time that something like that was happening. The Japanese actually used, they dropped fleas one time, I guess in the purpose of creating bubonic plague or what have you. But so this was not a new thing, but it was something that really, that has affected the world. Now, I mean, this has become a worldwide, I don't know that there's any country in the world, if it's in modern, up to anywhere close to modern standards, that's not been affected by this Wuhan Chinese coronavirus. Now, let's call it what it is. That's where it came from. That's where it was manufactured. And there again, what was the purpose of having some of that? I mean, we got enough nuclear weapons to destroy the world. Why would you need to put something that just goes out? And the Chinese wanted that simple weapon, and they used it. And now the news you're getting from China, they're not, you know, you don't get any actual factual on how many people have died in China, how many people are being falling ill from it. You're not getting any facts on that at all. And yet, the Biden administration seems to want to treat China just like, hey, you know, their military is really not bad. They're kind of like Boy Scouts, you know. They'll just direct traffic and stuff like that. But they're not after us. They're good people. We can do business with them. My son's made a lot of money off of them, and we like them. We get along with them pretty good. And I don't know. It's really put our country in a very risky situation, and now you've got the generals that are really have stepped out of their actual supposed to be positions of non-political and inserted themselves into the political side of the arena. And that's really should be a no-no for that to go. If you do remember that Truman and MacArthur had their disagreement, and what happened? He was fired. And so, you know, why hasn't this general been fired whenever he has stepped out of his range and his area of expertise and knowledge and what have you? So I don't know. We're just going through a change that hopefully that will be better when we get through it, but we're going through a very dangerous, perilous time in American history. I don't think in World War II, when you had the bombing of by the Japanese and a declaration of war, and then Germany was brought into it as a result of that. But here we are now with two countries and possibly three countries, and I'll include Russia, and even you might include Pakistan with that, that has nuclear capabilities. We didn't have the nuclear weapons in the First World War. We didn't have them in the early parts of the Second World War. And now you've got several nations that are to some degree unstable and have unstable leadership that has nuclear capability. So we live in a very it's kind of, you know, you think about it at night and say, good grief, I hope I'm going to try to get a comfortable night's sleep, but I hope everything is okay in the morning. I mean, you don't have that long range ability to really plan or look ahead like you've done in the past. In the past, you could say, well, I'm planning on this or planning on that. I was looking in the chat room earlier, and a lot of people were talking about Stonehenge. Well, personally, I've been to Stonehenge. In fact, I jotted down a lot of the places that I have traveled to, and I've traveled a lot, been in all the states and all provinces of Canada and all over Mexico. I have not been to Alaska or Hawaii. Those two states I've not visited. But other than that, I've been in every province of Canada and, of course, every state and all of pretty well everything in Mexico. I've been all over Mexico. In Europe, I've been to Stratford-on-Avon and the Mouse Castle in the River Rhine and all over Germany. In fact, I even spent a night in Jägerschloss Nidwalden, which was one of Hitler's old hunting lodges across the Bingen. When you cross the River Rhine and from Bingen and go on the other side, and so I've traveled a lot. Visited the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam and all of those. Unfortunately, I was able to travel a lot earlier in my life and enjoyed it all. I was in Liège, Belgium. I've been there. In fact, I got a little gang. I don't know why they chose to follow us, but they were followers, and I thought they might be up to no good, and I kind of dropped out and got behind them, and well, when they saw me behind them, they kind of dispersed, and that was the end of it. But been a lot of interesting places, and you know, Stonehenge is one of the most interesting, the just construction of it. And all the myth that's there, and of course, the legend of Robin Hood, and you've got all of those legends and that go on, and it just adds to our history and our background. And of course, that's the old part of the world. The U.S. is still a very young country compared to the rest of the world, and we're still, I think, basically an experiment. Is this really going to work? It's getting hammered around and beat up on pretty good now with, you know, any country in the world should have the right to control its borders. And we would really like to know who's visiting our country. When you go into one of the European countries, you got to go through customs and you got to have your passport, and they know who's there and who's not there. And they will even ask you questions and what have you. But yet now you walk across the border and you put with welcome arms and separated. Can you imagine just loading busloads of people up and primarily taking those and dispersing them into actually probably Republican type states? That's what's going on, folks. That is really what's going on. That really bothers me that we are just have opened our border up and just says, come across and we'll bus you across America and drop you out. And you know, all of these people, some of these people are sick and infected with the virus and what have you, and pregnant and what have you. They have no insurance. Who's going to foot that bill? Who's going to pay for that? You know, that's our national debt is just keeps accelerating. At some point in time, the Federal Reserve will have to raise interest rates. And when you get to the nominal, say 2.5 or 3%, where you're basically at zero now, do you realize what it's going to take to service that debt? As those bonds roll over, those 30 years roll over, what are we going to do? Go to a 50-year bond? I mean, how are we going to continue to finance this debacle? It's just unimaginable. The debt that we're incurring, and it just seems like they don't worry about it. They don't care. Just keeps printing as long as we've got the printing presses. You know, that's what happened in Germany when you could have taken a wheelbarrow load of the currency to buy a loaf of bread. So it's just at a danger. We're at a very dangerous intersection in the history of America. And I hope that you realize it. And my hope is the fact that we can right the ship and correct it and turn it around before we get to the point of no return. I remember a movie by John Wayne, and I might have talked about it before. That movie sticks in my mind, and I'll never forget it. The name of the movie was The High and the Mighty, and it was about a plane that took off from the East Coast on the way to Europe. And about halfway there, they developed engine trouble, and the decision was whether to turn back or try to make it to the end of the trip. And of course that was their final destination, but it was a harrowing trip. And here is America right now, still a very young nation compared to the rest of the world. And here we are definitely at a crossroads of whether we're going to maintain our ability to be that world power that's recognized for good around the world, or are we going to sink into oblivion and end up being ruled by the Chinese? And that's their goal, frankly. Actually, they're not looking at it from a we'll get along together. They'll appear to be that way, but you got to remember, the Chinese communists are not God-fearing people. There's only about 80 million registered communists in China. There, we're gonna take the break, and we'll take a little trip on the love train. Get back, and we will be right back with you. So stay with us.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannon.
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, welcome back to freedomslips.com and revolution.radio, and I hope you enjoyed your little ride on the love train. The girls in the chat room, they really get with it. They like to dance, it seems like, so they really get a, they really get to rolling when we do the love train. Anyway, welcome to freedomslips.com and revolution.radio, and remember, very important to remember this. We are listener supported. Without you, the listener, and no one's asking you to break the bank or deprive your children of food or any of those things. Just a few nickels, a few dollars every month would really be appreciated. $5, $10, $20, $20 is not going to break anyone. We don't want anybody to go hungry or needy or whatever. But just remember that, throw a few dollars our way every month. And it does take a lot of money to keep the station on the air with all the servers that's required, all the technical guys. And these people are doing this basically. They're not making any money out of it. They're doing it because Nighthawk had a dream. And that his dream was to have the station and let it operate off of the listeners. And so far it's been successful, and it's really, there was nothing else like it. He really started something completely new. And so as a tribute to the Nighthawk, and I do miss you, Hawk. I really had gotten real close to Nighthawk. He and I chatted a lot, and Liz and the whole family. And I've been here since the very early days. We only had a handful of listeners when I joined the station and started. In fact, I called in one time, and I was talking to Nighthawk, and he says, "Well, hey, why don't you do a financial show? We got a slot." And I said, "Really?" And I had never really thought about doing it. And he said, "Yeah." I had written, I'd been writing an article for the paper. I did it once a week. I didn't write it every day. But I'd been doing that for some time. And he said, "Well, hey, why don't you do it?" And I said, "Well, I'll give it a try. I don't know if people will be interested or not. But anyway, I'm still here." And I do miss Nighthawk and Liz and all. It was a great family, a hardworking tobacco. He was a tobacco growing, and knew, the man's knowledge was just always impressed me. He was a military person that, and as far as websites and all, and technology and computers and what, I don't think anyone that I know of really could surpass Nighthawk. He was just a super guy. I'll never forget him. And I just still think that it was one of those things that that happened, that he was actually dressing some deer meat, and that wild deer meat, he actually cut himself, and I think that got in his bloodstream, and that was the demise of him. But we miss you, Nighthawk. I hope you're sitting up there on a big old fat cloud looking down on us, and make him a little music there, because the guy could really, I've never known anyone that was better. I've always been a huge fan of Chet Atkins. He's the only guy that I know that could do Battle Hymn of the Republic and Dixie at the same time, and you could distinctly tell the difference between the two songs. So Chet Atkins is one of my favorites as far as guitarist, and Nighthawk was really right up there in that category. He could he could really get it on. All right. Now back to what I was talking about a little bit. As I said earlier, I wanted to touch base on a few places. And I'll tell you, but one interesting thing is I was just listing some of the places that I used to go to Vail for Christmas. And one time I was in Vail, and on Christmas Day, and we found a restaurant that was open air, and I felt bad, but I just couldn't resist it. So, I ordered a venison steak, and I said, "Golly, that's almost like eating Rudolph on Christmas Day." But it was very good. But anyway, I always enjoyed that. Amsterdam, I loved Amsterdam. I've been to so many places in traveling. I was just made notes a while ago of just some of the ones that really Liège, Belgium, and one of the ones that really I think I will never forget was Linz, Austria. And that actually, if you're a historian and remember, that's where Hitler was born. And we found this, I guess you would say, guest house. It was off the beaten path, and we were driving in a car that was rented in Germany, and it had a bond tag on it, and they really watch where the tags are from, because they have these old long tags, you know, they're not like ours. And anyway, we stopped there and just to get a room for the night and also take on a meal or what have you. And the minute after I registered, and they seemed to be really kind of unusual. I had an American Express that was issued at that time by a particular bank back, I don't know, this has been several years ago, but the bank, and I had that card, and that kind of, I don't know if that got their attention or what, but anyway, we went in the restaurant, and you could hear everybody laughing and drinking and having a great time, and the moment we walked in, it fell silent. It was just like, boom. It was like we were, where are these people from? Who are they? And anyway, we had our meal and went to our room. And I happened to go to the window. And I had parked the car not too far from where our room was. And I could actually see the car. And I looked and there was a guy with a flashlight. He was looking all under the fender walls and looking under the car. And I mean, he had gone over that car like with a fine-tooth comb. And it was a rental car, and it had a Bonn Germany tag on it. And I said, golly, what? I wonder what's going on there. And but anyway, finally laid down and slept pretty uncomfortable that night. And the next morning, I really felt I was kind of glad to get out of that area and back on the main autobahns or what have you and get away from that, you know. But it was so strange that, and in fact, I left this part out. And when we checked in originally, when we came back to the room, I could tell my luggage had been gone through thoroughly because I had it placed a certain way and I had it, you know, we had stuff, little things, trinkets or what have you, we had picked up, and you could tell that that luggage had been gone through. So I never will really get over that. It was so strange and unusual, you know. But in my travels, Amsterdam, I loved that. I went to the Anne Frank, where she was raised, born and raised there. And the museums in Amsterdam are just amazing, really. And just so many of the different places. And what really brought it to mind, even thinking about any of this stuff, the people in the chat room were chatting about Stonehenge. And I've been to Stonehenge at the time when the and all of that, and all of that history and what it depicts and what have you. So it's, I guess I've traveled a lot and enjoyed it all and never really had a problem. The only one problem that I had that I can remember going through customs all of, you know, in Israel, customs are the strictest anywhere, probably. Is they really go through everything. I even had a little ballpoint pen that the guy took it apart, and I mean he unscrewed it and looked at everything. So they're very thorough with theirs. But anyway, I think the most unusual one was. I had had this little, it was like a little baton, and it was spring-loaded, and you could pop it out, and it'd give you a little bit of protection. Well, after I had been followed in Liège, Belgium, by this little group of young boys who followed us for a while, I said, you know, you really can't have a weapon or anything or a knife or anything like that. So I had bought this, and when I bought it, it said it was legal in all over the world. Well, I just threw it in my luggage or what have you and didn't think any more about it. And we were in Vienna and left early in the morning to catch the flight from Vienna to Frankfurt. And we were there at the customs, you know, and I threw my briefcase up on the counter, and the girl opened it up, and she told me to open it up, and I opened it up and turned it around to her for her to go through, because I didn't have anything in there that I was worried about or thought was illegal or what have you. I'm not a dope dealer or none of those things. So I just felt, well, you know, sure, go through it. And immediately she picked up that little baton. And she says, okay, well, show me how it works. Well, I speak German enough that, you know, to communicate in either language. And I flipped it like that. Well, when I did, the spring part expanded outside. And when I did, this guy come and he got me, and they carried me in the room. And first of all, they wanted to know where I got it. And I said, well, I ordered it. You know, it was said legal all over the world. What's wrong with it? And he wanted to know verificoffency. Where'd I buy it? Where'd I buy it? And I kept telling him over and over again that I had ordered it from out of the Popular Science or something like that, just to have something. You know, when you're traveling, you want to have something, you kind of, because you really got to be careful with knives or guns or anything. And so I felt very comfortable having that in case you were attacked, you'd at least have something to kind of fend yourself off a little bit. Well, anyway, after about 30 minutes and I'm sitting there looking, I said, God, if he keeps me any longer, we're going to miss our flight to Frankfurt. And I had loved Vienna. I'd been, you know, but we'd been there several days and enjoyed the outdoor cafes and all. And I'd read, you know, Sigmund Freud interested me in Vienna. I guess that's why I developed such a love for Vienna. And so keeping me there that long, I'm looking at, God, we're going to miss our flight. We're going to miss our flight. And he wrote me, I don't know if you would call it, it wasn't a ticket or anything. It didn't cost me anything, but he confiscated my little wand and he wrote me, that thing must have been 10 pages long, and gave it to me. And God, I got out of there. And it was like, you remember the commercial with O.J. Simpson running to the airport? Well, that's the way we were running to the airport that morning. It was in an early morning flight too, you know? And so I wonder, just wonder what become of my wand. You know, they kept it. And the only other thing like that I happened in leaving Amsterdam, you know, you've got cheese over there all over the place. And we had bought some cheese and was going to bring it back with us. And when we got to customs and threw it up on the counter, she said, oh, you can't have that. You can't take that with you. So they kept my cheese. So really, you have to be aware when you're traveling like that of what's permitted and what's not permitted. And so I lost my cheese. I lost my wand. I lost all of that. But it was all a very good. I traveled a lot in my earlier years. I don't travel hardly anymore. I don't guess anyone really travels like they used to travel and take the trips, because if you're trying to go to Europe or what have you, you know, you got to have a vaccine passport. Of course, I will tell you that my wife and I have both been vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine. I did some research, and at my age, you know, really, probably if I were to contact it, it would probably take me out. So I said, we really probably need to get the vaccine and we'll find out if it kills us or whatever. So she and I both took the Pfizer, and we really didn't. We had both the shots, the first and the second. And that was well over a month or so ago, month and a half ago or something like that. And neither one of us noticed any. Her arm was sore a little bit for a day. I don't think my arm was even sore for the next day, not noticeably sore. And you know, at my age, I said, well, heck, I don't buy green bananas. So, you know, I think it was the right decision to do it. And so we've got our little cards. I guess we can travel now if we wanted to. Isn't that something? This is kind of getting like a, is the government really becoming the Gestapo? Are we reverting to that kind of control over people to where you have to have, next we'll have armbands, huh? Probably if you're a Republican, they would want you to wear an armband with a big R on it. And I don't know. I hope our country can get over this and get through this and without any problems. Now, there's another march that they're looking to have problems. You know, all of the people that were arrested in this, this is what is just amazing to me, is that these people are still in jail. I think there was something about 500 people that were arrested. What in the world is going to happen to them? How long are they going to keep them in jail? That is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard of in my life. And I don't know. Our country right now is really kind of scary. Was what? I hit a button on my phone. I had to get that turned off. But anyway, we're a good people. We're a benevolent people. We've helped people all over the world, and we're still doing that. But we have to get over this. I have to believe, and I will believe until my last day, that Donald J. Trump won the election. All of the shenanigans that went on at midnight with all of those boxes brought in, and it just doesn't seem right. It's going to be tough to overcome this either way and get back. Or how are we going to really trust elections anymore? The only way that, and I have advocated it from day one on this very station, the only way you're going to ever create any faith in the voting system in this country is go back to really paper ballots and keep those as a record. Why not? I mean, if you want a credible voting system, you do it. We did it for years, and it worked. It worked great. You got a record of a history. But when you got some machine that can wipe out the data and alter the data, if you know anything about programming, and many of you do, you know what computers operate off of is zero and one. So, you know, you can go in and fudge that and make one vote count for one and a tenth vote. And so, you know, it's just, we've got to get back to simplicity. We haven't advanced to the point of where we can just put everything on a computer and assume that it's going to be fine. That's not where we are. We have to have elections that the people believe in and trust in, or we don't have a true democracy. We don't have a real government. If that's the way it is. Well, I don't know. I've talked about a lot of things today. I will tell you that the market has been in a corrective fashion. And if you're involved in the market, and most people are one way or another, whether they actually... Golly, I keep trying to turn my phone on. I wanted to check something, and I keep hitting the same thing. So anyway, remember this, we do need to support the station, as I always remind you of. I thank you for your time with me on Friday. I'm here on Friday once a week, and I appreciate all the hard work that all the people behind the scenes do to keep the station going. It's really a full-time chore to keep the station on there, and these technicians that we have done a great job of doing it, and a little contribution along the way will assure that we're going to stay on there. Now, following me, as always, is Deacon John, and then usually you get Hijacker will kind of check in. And I haven't seen my old friend, the Canadian up there, SJ, in the chat room today. I hope that he's doing okay. He's had a problem or two physically, but he's one of the long-time chatters here. And all the people in the chat room, we love you all. Appreciate all that you do. And just keep us in your prayers. Send us a little money, and we'll get through all of this, and everything will be fine. So we're about to wind up for me today, and it's raining once again. Doggone it! I had so much outside that I wanted to do, and my wife and I got our outbuilding. We have a storage build. Well, it's about 24 by over, I guess, about 30. And we've got a lot of stuff just stored in there, old furniture and tools and what have you. And we had a leak in there, and we hopefully got that patched up and all in good shape now. But we've had so much rain. In fact, we had a road washout, and about 10 cars dropped in it, and several of the people killed several of them. You might have read about that. And it was actually before you get to a main bridge, and you know how they build the road up approaching the bridge, and just a section of the road, we've had so much rain, a whole section of the road washed out, highway and all, and it was raining heavy, and these cars just followed each other off in there, about 7 or 8 or 10 cars before it got stopped. And it was really, and can you imagine driving off that? That has to be just one of the most scariest things in the world, to be driving along, and the next thing you're sailing through the air and you crash, and several people have died as a result of it. And that's just one of our main roads out of the little town that I reside in. So anyway, that's it for me today. God bless each and every one of you, and we will see you again next Friday. Take care. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right, yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist, featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Hello, my
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.